All right. Well, it's good to have you in church this morning. If you have your Bibles there, go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I appreciate having our guests in church this morning. The title of the message this morning is Counterfeit Fruit. If you haven't been a Christian for a very long time, when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you are born again of the Spirit of God, and you're born again into the family of God, and you become His child, God starts to work in a life to change us and to mold us and to, as the Bible says, to conform us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We grow and we mature, and our character starts to change, and the way we speak starts to change, and the way we dress starts to change, and the way we behave, and all these things about our character starts to change as God works in God's mold. And all these changes, all these positive things, God calls them fruit. And these changes, these things are fruit unto God. And I like that, because it's like God planting these things into our life as they are born out into reality. And it's like they're born out as fruit, and God comes and God harvests that for the glory of God. So that's just a little explanation, because we're going to be talking a lot about fruit this morning. And the last thing that I really want you to think about are bananas and pears, folks, okay? But we're going to be talking about fruit. But I do have an illustration about bananas and pears. Have you ever gone to Woolies or to Coles, and you looked at the fruit that they have? And this time we are talking about bananas and pears, amen? And you looked at the fruit that Coles and Woolies have, and you thought to yourself, man, that just doesn't look right. Sometimes it just looks too perfect, it just doesn't look right, and let alone fresh. I think Woolies needs to change their motto, amen? I don't know about the fresh food people anymore, all right? I think they should be called the fresh frozen people. And sure, folks, listen, you know, you go and buy that apple and that pear, and it can look appealing, but you look at it, and you may, the wog that I am, you know, I pick it up and you smell it and you squeeze it, and not that I know what I'm doing, but that's what everyone else does. So you just do it, and it looks okay, but there's just something about it that's just a little bit dodgy. Usually the thing is, you know, stone cold, probably meaning that it's been flash frozen in some cool room for the last 3 to 6 months. And you buy it anyway because it's the only thing that's there, and you're trying to eat healthy, and you're trying to put things in your mouth that you don't have to unwrap, amen? And you take it home and you put it there and you look at it, man, and it just looks fake. And you go grab an apple you bought, and you wash it like crazy to get all the stuff you know shouldn't be on something that you put into your body. I mean, have you ever had the opportunity to see fresh fruit picked from a tree in someone's farm? It just looks different, folks. Fresh fruit looks different when it's not commercialized. Now, it's not, I'm not saying that it's perfect, but it's real. I tell you, the stuff in the supermarket, though it's edible, it just looks counterfeit. Well, church, let me tell you, sometimes the fruit that we bear for God in our life, the spiritual fruit, sometimes, folks, it can be a little bit like that. A little bit counterfeit. It just looks dodgy. It can smell a little bit dodgy. And God knows it, folks. The question, the challenge this morning to us is, can you and I, can we detect it? Do we know when we are producing that kind of fruit for God? Do we know, do we have a realization when I am producing counterfeit fruit for God? So the question is, what does real fruit look like in your life and mine? Well, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9 and 10 is an excellent place to start. Have a look at the verse, verse number 9. He says, For the fruit of the Spirit is, in all what? In all goodness, and in all what? Righteousness, and in all what? And in truth. What is the real and genuine fruit of the Spirit that Paul is referring to here? Well, obviously, church is talking about the fruit of the Spirit that God inspired him to write about in Galatians some 5 to 10 years prior to writing this in Ephesians. Let me read that to you for time's sake. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Verse number 24. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Then he says in verse number 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We're going to be examining what sort of fruit are we bearing for God in our lives as Christians. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you this morning for the blessing and the opportunity that it is to be able to stand behind this pulpit and proclaim, thus saith the Lord. Father, thank you for these dear brothers and sisters in Christ who have come out to be challenged and stirred and admonished and taught and encouraged by the Word of God. Father, I pray this morning that you'd give us ears to hear. Lord, I pray this morning that from the next few minutes that this preaching time, this exhortation time would bear something unto you, Father God. Help us to grow. Help us to apply the Word of God to our lives. Help us to search ourselves and to examine ourselves, Lord, what it is that our life is producing for our God. We pray, Lord, that you'd, again, that you'd help us to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God this morning. Father, if there be one in this room this morning that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, if there's one here this morning that doesn't know that they would have a home in heaven, doesn't know about having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't know that their sins are forgiven, Father, I pray that today, Lord, that this day you would show them their need to trust in the living God, that you would show them the need to obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, I commit that to you. Father, we're co-laborers with you. Father, I can preach and I can exhort, but we need your presence. We need the power of God in this place to accomplish the will of God. So we thank you, Lord. We love you. Have your will and your way with this message. And all of God's people said, amen. So as we've been looking in Ephesians, we've been covering from chapters 4:17 to 5:17 is all about living like the new person that we're supposed to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see again and again and again that there should be a clear difference between the way a lost person lives, between the way a person that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and the way that a saved person lives, that there should be a marked difference in that. And we saw that most immediately in Paul's discussion, the importance of things like in practical living, in the way we think about intimacy. Intimacy in the Christian life. And we read from last week, Ephesians 5, verses 3 to 8. Let me read that to you. It says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know that no whoremonger, no unclean person, no covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. And we read in verse number 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We looked at that. So while Paul is discussing these things, he brings up the thought that the devil will gladly give you all the logical and all the emotional and all the theological cover that you need to live the way that your flesh wants to live. Just like the lost person. And so he warns us, let no man deceive you with vain words. Folks, understand this morning. The devil is the master of deception. He is a liar and the father of it. He is the great deceiver of the nations. And deception is one of his primary characteristics. It worked at the beginning with Eve, right from the start. And so he knows what works and what is appealing to us. And so he continues that even until this day. And it was John that said that. In John 8:44, he said, ye are of your father the devil. The lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. And let me tell you this morning something, Christian, that maybe you have already worked out. He doesn't hesitate to use this tool, this weapon, against the Christian either. Which is why in our Bibles there are so many scriptural admonitions about watching out for the wolves in sheep's clothing and the like. The admonitions in the Bible to you and I that we should be discerning between good and evil. Listen, folks, that is an essential element of mature Christianity. Can you tell the difference between good and bad? You say, Pastor, that's not hard. Well, folks, is it? Sometimes I wonder, folks, honestly. Some of the decisions that people make, you wonder, how can you not know the difference between that being good and bad? Hebrews 5:14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Why? Because the devil is always in the business of offering something fake that looks like something real. He's in the business of offering the counterfeit that to try and convince you that it's the fair dinkum real thing. Something that's true. So let me challenge you this morning, Christian. How's your discernment this morning? Some of you are sharp. In fact, most of you, I don't think much gets by you, humanly speaking. You show discernment in your workplace. You show discernment in your careers. You show discernment in making life choices. But folks, sometimes when it comes to spirituality, we show no discernment. And it's like the devil has pulled the wool over our eyes, and we don't even realize how we got there. So let me challenge you again. How's your discernment this morning? And again, I'm not talking now about out there. I'm talking, how's your discernment in here and in here this morning? Listen, folks, can you tell the difference? I want to encourage you, be a Berean, amen. Search the scriptures, Acts 17. But back to our text. The text has been exhorting us to put off the old man and put on the new. Another way that Paul phrases this difference is life in the spirit versus life in the flesh. And we all have this experience. When I yield to my flesh, certain things happen. When I yield to my flesh, I live a certain kind of life. When I yield to my flesh, that certain kind of life is never pleasing to God. When I yield to the Holy Spirit, certain things happen as well, church. Oh, but this time they're completely different. When I yield to the Holy Spirit, the things that happen is like we spoke about last week. We walk as children of light. And every time you walk in the light of God, that, my friends, is pleasing to God. But when I walk in the flesh, things happen. When I walk in the spirit, things happen. And we can rightly call these results fruit. That's fruit. Romans 7, verse number 5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. It's a type of fruit, walking in the flesh. Versus Galatians 5:22 and verse 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So with this as a background here, Paul points to Ephesians 5:9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So let me warn you this morning, beloved, the devil will try and sell a corrupt version of the fruit of the Spirit in your life. The devil will try and give you a counterfeit fruit of the Spirit. Can you tell the difference? In other words, he will seek to fool people into thinking that what they are feeling, what they are experiencing, even sometimes what they believe, is the fruit of the Holy Ghost, when really it is nothing but that. And it will be counterfeit fruit. And since the fruit of the Spirit is often, not always, but is often emotionally connected, and people, especially in contemporary Australia, are fooled by their emotions all the time. Who has never been fooled by their emotions? You feel something, you may feel happiness or you may feel anger, you may feel frustration, and the whole situation didn't warrant that. And you were fooled by your emotions into this state of thinking and feeling that wasn't the reality. And in Australia in 2026, we are fooled by our emotions all the time, church. They are fooled by the devil all the time into thinking they are spiritual when they really are anything but that. Christians aren't the example. I think Christians take hook, line, and sinker things like a prosperity gospel. The fact that you can promise someone, oh, listen, beloved, if you come to the Lord today and if you give your life to Jesus Christ, your life will change and you'll be healthy and you'll be wealthy and you'll be wise for the rest of your life. Tell that to Brother Robbie. There couldn't be any more nonsense than that, folks. A lot of the time you give your life to Jesus Christ, it's going to get harder. Because now you're in the devil's crosshairs, amen? The whole fake holiness of grace movement. Live as you want. Do whatever you please. You know what? Grace covers all. Somehow the holiness and separation don't matter anymore to God. And Ephesians 5:9, this verse, tells us how to differentiate between the false fruit of the Spirit that the devil tries to sell you and the genuine article. And the difference is this, my friends, listen, the genuine fruit of the Spirit is birthed in these three things that we read. It is ruled and it is governed and it is limited to these three things. What are they? We read them. Goodness, righteousness, and what? And truth. If your choices in following God brings you an emotion that is not anchored in those three things, then listen, folks, your choices are wrong. You aren't really following God. You are living in the flesh and not in the Spirit, and I don't care how it makes you feel. So here's the issue, church. The devil doesn't usually tempt us with something that looks evil. If it looked obviously sinful, we reject it straight away. Instead, he comes and he offers you something that looks spiritual. He comes and he offers you something that may even feel spiritual. But listen, folks, it isn't. And that's why Paul tells us, he tells the Ephesian church in Ephesians 5:9, that the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, in all righteousness, and in all truth. If what we are experiencing, if what we are believing, if what we are pursuing is not anchored in goodness, in righteousness, and in truth, then no matter how good it feels, it isn't the Spirit of God producing it, church. Oh, listen, it may look like fruit. It may feel like fruit, but it's counterfeit fruit. It reminds me of these things keep popping up in my social media feed where there's this thing now where people make cakes. You ever seen that? And they make these cakes and they make it look like everything. And the only reason you know it's a cake because they stick a knife in it and then they cut it and you're, oh, that was a cake. But I've seen mobile phones made to look like it was a mobile phone. And I've seen an apple that you look at it on the table and, man, this thing was an apple. And then they put the knife in and there's this three-layered cake. And you go, my goodness. It looked like fruit. It may have felt like fruit, but it's counterfeit fruit. And so Paul gives us three clear markers that we're going to talk about so we can test what's real and what's fake. And the first one is this, the genuine fruit of goodness. In the original language, it portrays the idea of some moral excellence worked out. Goodness, a good act. So let me say to you, if your so-called fruit of the Spirit only makes you feel something, and that is it, and nothing but that, versus feel something that goes ahead and produces some form of action, then your fruit of the Spirit is fake, folks. Now, in our church, we've been discussing love a lot lately. It's come up, as I believe the Lord intended it that way. And we've discussed how, folks, out there in our world today, there is a lot of counterfeit love around. Amen? And we've discussed, it's not some misty-eyed sentiment. Love is a verb. Love works, church. Love keeps the command. Love keeps the word of God. Or it isn't love. You see, folks, Australia... I hope you guys have experienced this. Australia, Sydney is full of nice people. There are plenty of people who are polite. There are plenty of people who are friendly and generous and pleasant. But that does not mean they are producing spiritual fruit. Biblical goodness in this context is not just pleasantness. It is a moral goodness that comes from God working in a person's heart. In fact, the Bible makes it very clear that true goodness does not and never does originate within the heart of man. I mean, the Bible tells us what's in the heart of man. And folks, it isn't biblical goodness. Romans 3:12, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. He goes on to write, chapter 7, verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Folks, I think you agree with me in this. Left to ourselves, we are not naturally good people. We are naturally selfish people. So when goodness, biblical goodness, begins to show up in the life of a Christian in a consistent way, it is evidence that the Holy Spirit is doing something in us. Amen? Why? Because it is His fruit. Do you know what counterfeit goodness looks like? Because the devil has a counterfeit version of biblical goodness. See, the counterfeit version of goodness is a selective goodness. It is goodness that only is good when it benefits me. I'm good, I show goodness when it's good to me. Or when it makes me look good. Or when it costs me nothing. I mean, Jesus talked about this kind of goodness. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. Let's look at verses 32 and 33. Are you a good person? I hope you are, amen. Which kind? The real stuff? Or the counterfeit? Look what Jesus says here in Luke chapter 6, verse 32, 33. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. Verse 33. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what does he say after that? What thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. In other words, church, even lost people can be good when it's convenient. But the fruit of the Spirit produces a goodness that goes far, far deeper than that. Real goodness, the fruit of the Spirit goodness, does good when no one else sees it. When it doesn't get recognized. I mean, I thank you, church, for what you did yesterday. I mean, you guys came together and we were a blessing to the college and a lot of you worked and labored. In order for that to bear fruit, did you need pastor to come up and say thank you? Did you need some form of recognition for that? Or was it this genuine fruit when it's good and you don't care that no one else knows and no one else saw it? See, genuine goodness, biblical goodness, does good when it costs something. It does good even to people who don't deserve it. Why? Because it's not coming from our flesh. It's coming from our God. What does genuine goodness look like? When the Holy Spirit is producing goodness in your life, it begins to show itself in very practical ways, church. It shows up in how you genuinely treat people. That's why Paul would write to the Galatian church in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, and he says, "As we have therefore opportunity." Remember, those opportunities aren't yours to create. Those opportunities are opportunities because they're given to you by your Lord God. So as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. A spirit-filled believer looks for opportunities to do good, not just inside the church, but everywhere, folks. It also shows up in a desire to help rather than to harm and to criticize. It shows up in a desire to be a blessing. Instead of bitterness, there is kindness. Instead of revenge, there is mercy. Instead of selfishness, there is a generosity of heart and of spirit. That's biblical goodness. And listen, that type of goodness, biblical goodness, stands out in a dark world, folks. It's not common. And Jesus said it this way. It's out on our church sign at the front in Matthew 5:16. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." When the Spirit produces goodness in our lives, people don't just see us, they see God working in us. So here's the question we have to ask ourselves this morning, church. Is the goodness in my life Spirit-produced goodness or just convenient goodness? Is it goodness that shows up when things are easy? Or goodness that shows up when things are hard? Because genuine fruit of the Spirit is not something we manufacture, church. It is something that grows in us when we walk with God and yield to the Spirit. The genuine fruit of goodness. Let me give you the second one. The genuine fruit of righteousness. The genuine fruit of righteousness. You know what righteousness is? Righteousness is doing right, but from God's perspective. And that's something that Jesus, while he was on earth, hated to see, is people doing their own righteousness. They were doing right from their own perspective. And he said to him, listen, if you're ever going to have a relationship with the Father, you have to, he's telling the people, you have to exceed the righteousness of these Pharisees. Your own righteousness. Doing right from your own perspective. What's that worth, church? Nothing. Nothing. Because doing right has to be born from God's eyes, from God's perspective. And I could spend the entire time today explaining to you why this definition is precisely accurate. But I won't. But it is this. You see how this relates to the previous point we've just been talking about. The fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life and mine does not just produce emotions. It produces actions. You say, Pastor, what kind of actions? The right actions. But the right actions as defined by the living God. Otherwise, it is not righteousness. It's like one of the fruit of the Spirit we said was peace. Peace. If I feel at one with the world, but I lose my temper at the drop of a hat, what kind of peace do I really have? Now we come to church and we're Christian and we're born again and we're at peace and I have peace with God and the fruit of the Spirit is peace. And then we go to work on a Monday morning and we yell and blow up at everybody. That's just my job. No, it's not. No, it's not. If I'm constantly offended, I do not have peace, no matter what I feel, church. You know, Psalm 119, verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing, nothing shall offend them. Great peace, biblical peace, that's the fruit of the Spirit in peace. Nothing shall offend them. People in whom the Spirit is bearing fruit will be gentle, will be easy to be entreated, as the Bible said. They will be hard to offend. People in whom the flesh is bearing fruit will be harsh. They're people who it's impossible to discuss anything with. The people who are always touchy, you've met those brothers who you're always on eggshells. Again, the fruit of the Spirit does not just produce feelings, it produces actions. It changes, the fruit of the Spirit changes the way we live, church. Because real spirituality is not measured by how strongly we feel something, but whether our lives are lining up with what God says is right. Does your life line up with what God says is right? Because, folks, the devil will give you counterfeit righteousness. The devil's counterfeit here is just an emotional righteousness. It's the idea that if something feels spiritual, oh, then it must be from God. Really? Folks, the Bible never measures spirituality by your feelings. It is measured by obedience to the Word of God. For example, someone might say, I just feel such peace about this decision. Let me tell you, as a pastor, that is one of the hardest things to hear from your people. Pastor, I'm thinking about this, and I just have this peace about it. And that's it. Well, all you have is peace. I have a peace. Really, is that all you have? Folks, listen, look up here. Be careful. If you're about to make a decision, you're going to make a choice, and all you have is peace about it, be careful. Be careful. Many a good Christian have done very dumb things because they had peace about it, and that's all they had. But if that decision that you have a peace about contradicts God's word, folks, that peace didn't come from the Holy Spirit of God. Or you may not have an internal turmoil about it, but that peace you have isn't from the Lord. God never leads someone to feel good about doing something he already said he doesn't want you to do. Let me tell you what genuine righteousness looks like. It's when the Holy Spirit is producing righteousness in a person's life, it begins to show up in everyday behavior. It's just the way you live. You know, people in whom the Spirit is bearing fruit tend to be, again, gentle, and they're approachable, and they're easy to reason with. And yes, they are hard to offend. But when the flesh is ruling, folks, the opposite happens. You've seen it. They're harsh and they're defensive, and you can't talk to them, and they're always, you know, complaining and constantly offended at things. And when that happens, bloke, you shouldn't blame personality. That's not their personality. We need to recognize if that's what they are, then that is the fruit being produced of how that person, that Christian, is walking. Because they're either producing fruit in the spirit or in the flesh. So the test is simple, church. Does the spirituality in my life actually produce righteous living? Is the spirituality in my life causing me to live well and from God's perspective, not mine? Does it move me towards obedience to God? Or does it just make me feel spiritual while I keep living my own way? Because genuine fruit of the Spirit always moves a person towards doing what is right in God's eyes. Third and the last. I'm watching the clock, folks. It's okay. I'm just watching it tick on, right? Three. The genuine fruit of truth. The genuine fruit of truth, which is the Word of God, folks. The Word of God. Again, we immediately see this connection with the other two, with goodness and with righteousness. How we feel is not the measure. Listen, what is the measure? The Word of God is the measure. God's revelation to man. You know why so many of us ignore our Bible? Because we don't see it in that light. We don't see the Bible as God's revelation to man. We see it as some religious textbook. And the devil has a counterfeit as well. The devil's counterfeit here is religious experience without any biblical truth. You see, folks, all over this world, people have these powerful spiritual feelings. And some walk into these massive religious buildings with these beautiful ceremonies and their music and their symbolism, and come away saying, oh, what a great day in church. I really felt close to God. And you can come out of that and you can come out of that ceremony and those rituals and you can declare that and you can say that. But if the doctrine being taught there contradicts the Word of God, then what they experienced was not the fruit of the Spirit. Others may say things like, oh, I feel closest to God when I'm out in nature. And they'll stand in some forest or look over a lake at the mountains or sit beside the ocean and say, oh, this is where I meet with God. Now, certainly, folks, listen, creation shows us God's power, amen? But if someone replaces the God of Scripture with nature itself, that isn't truth either, folks. You know Romans 1:25? Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator? How can it be considered normal to kill a baby in the womb, and that is legal, but it is illegal to go down and to cut a tree outside my house? That is not normal. That is not truth. And in all these things, these people have these powerful feelings. But feelings alone do not make something true, folks. just because you feel of something about it doesn't make it truth. There are a gazillion religious people in this world that feel sincerity and they feel conviction about what they believe, but it is not truth if it doesn't line up with my King James Version of the Bible, folks. In our culture, we live in a world, we live in a country that people are constantly told to follow your heart. Follow your heart. Brother Pete, just follow your heart. Sister Jeanette, just follow your feelings. Fair dinkum. If it feels right, man, it must be right. If it feels spiritual, man, it must be from God. But the Bible never tells us to test things by our feelings. It tells us to test things by the Word of God. That is truth. That is truth. What genuine truth looks like when the Holy Spirit is producing fruit in a believer's life, it produces a love for the Bible, folks. And yes, I'm going to step out and say it produces a love for the King James Version of the Bible. Let's not get started on the perversions of the versions, amen? Forget it. That's for another time. Do you love your Bible? I mean, honestly, what does it hold to in your life? Have you read it today? I mean, before coming to church. Have you picked it up this week? Has God revealed himself to you this week in his word? Folks, if you haven't picked up your Bible this week, don't come and tell the Lord, I walk in the truth. Because that's not the fruit of the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is producing this fruit in a believer's life, it produces a love for the Bible. There is a desire. There is an internal drive to know what God actually said to me. My daughter encouraged my heart. I was driving, was it not this morning, it was yesterday. Yesterday? And I'm driving, I'm talking to Corinne, and I looked, you know how she sits behind my wife, and I looked over, and there she is with her Bible open, her devotion, and then she's writing notes. Sorry, I don't mean to embarrass you. She's just writing notes. I go, what are you doing? We're driving in the car. She goes, Dad, I didn't get a chance to do my devotion this morning and I just want to. In the car, folks. You know what that is, sweetheart? That's the fruit of the Spirit. It wasn't waking up saying, oh man, I've got to go do my devotion. It's a drudgery, I've got to take my Bible out. That's not the fruit of the Spirit, folks. That's counterfeit fruit. The desire to know what God wants to tell me. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Folks, the Spirit of God, no matter what you think it is, the Spirit of God will never lead someone away from the Word of God. He always leads us towards it. That's why mature believers, grown-up Christians, are people who love the Scriptures. They test what they hear and measure everything by the truth of God's Word, just like the Bereans. They receive the word with all readiness of mind and search the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. So here's the test if you're walking in truth. Are you bearing this fruit? Here's the test. Is the spirituality in my life grounded in the Word of God? Listen, is what I'm living grounded in what God says in His Word? Or is it built on experiences and emotions and my own reasoning? Folks, because genuine fruit of the Spirit will always lead a person closer to the truth of God's Word, never further away from it. The genuine fruit of truth, the Word of God. Let me close with a challenge this morning. So let's bring this back to where we started a little while ago. Sometimes you walk through Coles or you walk through Woolworths and you see fruit that may even look perfect. And it's appealing to the eyes and folks, the color is right and the shape is, I mean, they have already discarded and rejected all the blemishes. And the color is right and that shape is perfect and everything about it looks impressive. But folks, something is off. It's been sitting in a box in storage, in cold storage for months. It's been handled and processed and preserved until it looks like what they want it to look like. But it isn't real fresh fruit anymore. And church, spiritually speaking, the devil is very good at producing fruit that looks convincing. It can look spiritual, it can feel emotional, it can even sound religious, but Paul tells us how to test that fruit. The genuine fruit of the Spirit is always governed by those three things, by God's goodness and biblical goodness and a life that genuinely seeks to do good from God's point of view. It's governed by righteousness, a life that is moving towards obedience to God. And it's a genuine fruit is governed by truth, a life that is anchored in the Word of God. If what we are experiencing in our spiritual life is not producing those things, then no matter how strong the emotion is, that is not the fruit of the Spirit. It is a counterfeit fruit. And so the challenge for every one of us this morning is not to examine someone else's tree. Don't go looking at what sort of fruit is hanging on them. It is to examine our own. What kind of fruit is growing in my life? Is the Holy Spirit producing goodness and righteousness and truth in me? Or have I settled for something that only looks spiritual on the outside? Have I settled for something that I know when the next testing comes, that I know when the next crisis comes, I'm not going to have any confidence that I'll be able to endure? Because the goal of the Christian life is not just to look like a Christian, folks. It is to be transformed by the Spirit of God into the image of His dear Son. And the good news is this: if we will walk with the Lord and yield to His Spirit and submit to His Word, we will produce the real fruit of the Spirit in us. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Before we pray, I just want to give you a little exhortation. Let's stretch our legs. We're almost done. Let's stand. Let's bow our heads. And please, no one looking around. I just want to ask you this morning, I want to encourage you to do something very simple as we stand. Take a moment before we pray and ask the Lord to search your heart. Ask Him to show you if there is any area of your life where you have been settling for counterfeit fruit. You've been partaking of something that you know looked dodgy and smelled dodgy and it just wasn't right and there needs to be some genuineness in that thing. Maybe it's goodness that only shows up when it's convenient to you. Maybe it's righteousness that disappears when things get tough and things get difficult. Maybe it's spirituality that is built more on feelings than on the Word of God. And wherever the Lord speaks to you this morning, the answer is the same, beloved. Yield yourself again to Him. Ask Him how to grow the real fruit in your life. Church, God is not looking for fruit that looks good on the shelf. And He's not looking for fruit that is appealing when it's being stored. He's looking for fruit that is genuinely grown by the Spirit of God in your life. Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word. Lord, we thank You that You have not left us guessing about what true spiritual life looks like. You have shown us clearly that the fruit of the Spirit is seen in goodness and righteousness and truth. And Lord, help us not to settle for something that only looks spiritual on the outside. Help us to desire the genuine work of Your Spirit in our hearts. So search us today, dear Lord. Show us the areas where we need to grow. Help us to yield ourselves more fully to You so that our lives would reflect Your goodness and reflect Your righteousness and reflect the truth of the Word of God. And Father, we pray that the fruit that grows in our lives would bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask this in His name. And all of God's people said, amen.